Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
Mike. Bill, put that endangered species down. Put it down.
Just trying to make it breathe.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill.
It's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered
species. Oh, yeah,
like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Just step
away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands.
We can all go down.
Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city, okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston, you could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know they're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a pride. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot of
views. This is going to get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I
know
a guy who knows
a guy. We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway, filmfreeway.com/Boston.
You know what? Speaking of which, this was a thing I just talked about. That's a quick hack thought. There are all these 80s movies about how, like, the snowboarders are we're just the cool kids without any money. It's like, do you know how much snowboarding costs? Like, how did people get away with that? Do you know what I mean? It costs like thousands of dollars to snowboard.
So many of those movies like assume that there is a small snowboarding town of like maybe like 50 people where these kids go to snowboard-based schools, and every single like after-school special or after-school program is just, we gotta go snowboarding, man. Yeah, we finally got out of class. Let's go snowboarding immediately. So I think all of these 80s comedies are just mountain children. These are all...
Nobody met a fucking single snowboarder in that time. That's all I'm saying. Like, do you know how, like, especially when they were making those, do you know how rare snowboards, like, snowboards were hard to find for a while? Not, like, rare, like, my God, I've come upon the Galadriel snowboard. Like, but you know what I mean? Like they were harder to get for a lot of people for a while. So, like, they're making these snowboarding movies. It's like, it would have been a really expensive thing to own, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, ridiculous that it's, like, just because it's a cool thing doesn't mean, like, oh, this is the cool one. So, we're like the low class cool kids. It's not our fault. We're just poor, and all our parents can afford. Our parents can only afford one thing on our feet. Not you precious kids with two.
Our parents are just millionaires. Your parents must be multimillionaires. Oh man.
I know. It's like it's a snowboard. It's a very expensive thing to go on a mountain, like to have a lift ticket, and these kids are snowboarding every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, usually it always seems like they have like some like back route way to get up to these like special hills, and it's like, do you know how regulated these things are? Like
someone would shoot at you.
Yeah, if you snowboarded the wrong way and like broke your neck, that whole facility is liable now. Like that whole like mountain resort is screwed.
We should write the real version of this. I'm telling you. You know how everyone's doing like gritty versions of stuff and it's idiotic? It's like, you remember how you like this thing? Well, now it's gritty and hairy and it's got pimples. Let's do the real version. But it's like, it's not like real and gritty like it is nowadays. It's like real, like
factual.
Yeah, it's like Twin Peaks. It's like Broadchurch. It's like some snowboarders found in an accident and they actually have to shut down the mountain, and it's sad, and it's about like the economics of owning a ski resort. it's actually realistic. Anyway, that's a good hack thought to start the episode off with. Hi everyone, welcome to Hack Thought, the show about thoughts you don't think to think about. What's our topic today? A niche conversation beyond you just talking about snowboarding and skiing, which you might not even do, the difference between real-life snowboarding and skiing and movie snowboarding. Have you seen snowboarding and skiing movies? Even less of a population of people that are listening to... There's, like, no one. So we're not going to actually talk about it. Theme song by Freddie Unreal and the Fangers. How are you, Bill?
Good.
You know, there's something we haven't talked about on the show in a while. Are you ending the stigma? End the stigma, of course, a charity group that I think is bullshit, thing that people say about people with mental health. What are you doing to stop your stigma towards mental health? Because that's how our stigma ends, just telling people to cut it out. What are you doing? How are you ending your stigma, Bill? How are you getting rid of the stigma?
Exercising. I've been trying to exercise more and eat healthier.
It's just nonsense. I like to keep... A lot of times I do things on the show and people go, "Well, has Mike forgotten about that?" Never.
And I'm always writing.
I do not forget.
Yeah. I'm always writing.
Yeah. But
comedy. Comedy is the cure.
Anyway.
And the problem.
Yeah, but anyway, what are you doing to end the stigma? End the Stigma is a real group saying that we should just stop thinking about mental health negatively. I've done a few episodes on it. It's a real group. I'm very much against them. It's not... Why am I against you? Not because you don't have good intentions, but because it's dumb. What are you going to do to end the stigma? Huh? It's ending the stigma of people with mental illness.
Just
what are they going to do?
Carry a large sword with you at all times and just, like, slash at the air around you.
I mean, yeah, I suppose... So you're saying their problem is... No, it's treating it too metaphorically, and that perhaps if they had a bunch of people swinging around swords, that one day the stigma, a sort of mythological beast that it's invisible, will run into the sword.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what Bill's doing.
Yeah, bring it into the physical realm and then slash it with your sword that you should have with you at pretty much all times.
Duh.
You're going to need a sword more than you're going to need an umbrella. Yeah, it might be raining, but then you got rain with these invisible creatures that are coming out of the physical plane. Always be slashing.
Always be slashing. That's the motto of us around here. Bill.
And Crystal Lake.
Let's talk about Crystal Light. What? Let's talk about... Honestly, we're in a little bit of a nostalgia thing going on right now in the last few episodes. Let's talk about Crystal Light. Honestly, let's spend some time talking about it. Did you ever have Crystal Light?
I don't think I did. Which is that one of the iced tea powders?
No, well, it was one of the powders, but it wasn't a tea.
Was it its own thing?
It was in that, but you're in the right era. You're in the right era.
Was it like Tang, where it was kind of like... It was
during the Tang revival.
It was kind of sort of like another thing, but it was its own thing?
So during the Tang revival of our childhood, there was also... The Tang revival definitely sprang up from Crystal Light, which was a powder drink, and they actually sold it in bottles, too, but it was like, you know... It was like Kool-Aid, but with, you know, aspartame.
Does that go back to, like, that goes back to, like, the late 70s, right? Like, or, like, at least, like, it was trendy. Like, the trendy, like, Crystal Light commercials, I feel like, were very,
right,
like, 78 to, like, 85 or something.
And then there was the powdered drink revival in our childhood,
yeah,
which wasn't always powdered drinks. Tang now came in a pouch with an actual Oranga Tang.
Yeah, I remember those commercials so vividly, and I remember always wanting Tang, and my mom was always just like, "No, you don't. You really don't care for Tang." But the commercial with the monkey, no, you don't care.
Whoa, this is blowing. Did you never get Tang in the pouch?
I think I maybe had it once, yeah, at a friend's place. I've never actually really, yeah, had Tang, because my mom would just say, "Well, we can make orange juice." I'm like, "But it's not the powder." She's like, "Yeah, because that's gross, and I can make you the real thing."
What is she not? Did she never meet a kid?
No, she...
We can make orange juice.
There were plenty of other things that she indulged me in, but it was the Tang was where she kind of drew the line.
And our parents, that generation had it was very much this thing where there was a resistance to it. I remember this because it was like, Tang isn't cool. Like, I know about Tang. It's like, no, you don't, Dad. Buy me some. No, you don't. Buy me some. It's delicious. I drank a lot. That was my juice du jour for a very long time, the pouch Tangs.
Oh, I was a Capri Sunner. That was my...
We did not have Capri Sun. And I think that's how I got it, because we didn't really have Capri Sun. Like, it was around every once in a while. Like, if, you know, someone went and bought snacks for something and it was left over. But it was not a household staple. You know, it wasn't the juice around. And so when Tan came along, I had sort of some pull as a kid in the juice department to get a juice.
You've been holding back on me.
To get myself a juice pouch.
You've been holding back on me. I need a juice. This juice. This could be our juice. The family juice.
Believe in this juice. So if you don't know, Tang was a product in the 70s. Purportedly drank by astronauts, which now, of course, we know. I don't know if this is going to ruin your perception. Tang was not brought into space. Essentially,
well, that's where the flavors came from. They were alien flavors.
I think essentially the rumor came from the fact that astronauts had dehydrated and rehydrated food.
Yeah.
So, but they never brought dehydrated food to space because that only makes sense on Earth where you have a huge supply of water. But in order to keep, this is what I think, that in order to keep stuff preserved, like with, you know, powdered milk, which doesn't always come powdered, they would dehydrate it, which got rid of a lot of the stuff that would make it spoil, and then rehydrate it and put it in a package, and that's what they would bring to space. So I think that's where the Tang myth came from, but Tang was a dehydrated juice. I think a lot of people at the time thought it was like orange juice from concentrate, and I don't think it was. I think it was its own thing. And then when me and Bill were younger, Tang came back with a cool, hip 90s, 2000s vibe.
Oh, and, yeah.
Had an actual orangutan, which was not what the thing was named for, on the front of all the juice. And the commercials were this orangutan swinging around in this land of orange CGI juice. And it was pretty amazing.
It's really colorful. And it really, it worked. So I didn't even think about that. Apparently pouches were the way of selling things to us at that time. Because Tang was in a pouch. Like, they convert.
Pokemon cards are in a pouch.
They made Go-Gurt. Like, Go-Gurt was basically Go-Gurt now in a pouch. Like, the pouch was the best. Like, Capri Suns were a pouch. It was the most, it was the, was it the kid device? It was the kid shape? Children need pouches.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, Grandpa, tell me what it was like in the year 2000. Oh, it's different now. 2007. When I was just like you. I loved pouches.
Pouches as far as the eye could see.
Ziplocs were changing colors. So I remember my mother would tell me, use a Ziploc. I said, how do I know the Ziploc bag is sealed? And she'd say, she'd slap me across the face with a pouch. And she'd say, looky, it turns one side's red, one side's blue. Seal them up, you got purple. And we'd do that for hours. We had zippers on our Ziploc. Finally, the Ziplocs actually zipped. I remember where I was. JFK had just died many years earlier. But then I remember, oh, they said, not just Ziploc in name, Ziploc in device. It was zippers on Sadler. The locks, and you could zip them and lock them. Did it work very well? Worse. But we had the zippers, and that was fun. Where did they go? The trash. It was not a good way to seal food, because the zipper would fall plumb right off. And then someone would show you how to zip it back up. And that was another fun act. We just loved playing with pouches.
Why is Grandpa still talking?
Who are you? I don't care about you. I've got a podcast. Hi, I'm 1,000 years old and I still have my podcast. You ever think of that?
You're just sitting in a room, Grandpa. There's nothing recording you.
I'm always recording. Anyway, listeners, I got children now. And yeah, you've been listening to this podcast for 70-some-odd years and kids don't care about podcasts. That's the way it is. Just me and my old friends in our pouches. Go good. Just saying things that are in pouches. That's podcast now. So I Googled pouches, and wouldn't you know it, they sell cheese powder in them. So there you go. Everything's in pouch.
I think, to be honest, do you know what else I think came out when we were kids in terms of Ziploc bags and pouches? I don't think they sold shredded cheese in pouches until we were kids. I think that's a relatively new invention.
Oh, was it actually? I haven't even thought about that. I mean, I could see that.
I'm thinking about, because you and I only function on old movies, I'm thinking of old shots of grocery stores. I don't think there's cheese in pouches back then. I think that's a new thing too.
Yeah, it could be.
Man, we are the pouch generation. This is weird.
When because pouch old, was king.
Old baseball cards didn't come in pouches either. Like I said, Pokemon cards is a joke, but now that I'm thinking
about
it.
What did they come in before?
Like
a tin?
Give me the pocket knife, I want some baseball cards! They came in like a the same way shitty old gum would come in, like shitty old candy bars. It was like just
sort of shitty
wrap.
Like, yeah, this like tin foil, like this like cheap ass like
the wax paper.
Oh, okay.
It would come like sort of just folded over in wax paper. It wasn't like a pouch that you open, like you think of with like trading cards nowadays. It was like a, it was just kind of like the way shitty old candy bars used to come in, like just kind of like folded over and like vaguely sealed. Like the same way that I know this is sounding crazy to people. If you haven't seen like old baseball cards or like old candy bars, they all used to be wrapped the way like even Hershey bars aren't wrapped this way anymore. Like the way that if you watch the movie Willy Wonka, that's how candy bars and everything used to be wrapped. It wasn't like sealed. It was just there was a foil over it sometimes, or it was just covered in a paper, like folded over with a paper and maybe some wax inside. That's how baseball cards and used to come as well. We are like the pouch generation. This is actually, we fell into a hack thought that's blowing my mind, which rarely happens on the show. Ziploc bags with the zippers did come out when we were kids, and so did the Ziploc bag where that I was making the joke where it was red on one side, blue on the other, and make purple. That's how you know it was closed. Wow. What else came in pouches? Now this is like the episode. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I swear to fucking God.
I'm trying to think of other, because I mean, it was kind of like a plastic pouch, but that's definitely how they sold Lunchables. Lunchables were more or less like, it was either pouches or those compartmentalized plastic containers.
No, remember late in the Lunchables, yeah. So I know what you're talking about, but late in the Lunchables thing, there then was pouches. Oh my God, I'm going to send you a commercial. There was like Lunchables when it was on death's door, like 2010 or 11.
Oh, wow.
Had a product where it was like protein pack Lunchables.
Yeah.
And it's like some kid, like fucking jogging, some high schooler jogging at like, you know, early in the morning. And he's got like a little pouch he's got in his pocket. Oh, we had those goos. Remember those goos?
I think I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, like that like liquid syrup candy or something.
Oh, I wasn't even saying that, but yes, you're right. There was like the syrup candy that was like, you don't even have to put it into a shape anymore. Kids will just suck it out of the thing.
Even thinking about Lunchables, like, yeah, Lunchables made a really weird turn in the mid-2000s where they were pretty sure they nailed the market for breakfast. Because I remember they went through a phase where they only had the breakfast Lunchables. It was like, you could get like pancake, waffle, or like French toast Lunchables, and that's all they sold. And it's like, really? You really thought breakfast was your, like, your Hail Mary? That was the, that was where your niche was? I'm like, no, go back to the pizza.
We will have the next episode. Listeners, tune in, because Bill has just challenged me. Or we can do this right now. I mean, we have a few minutes. Lunchable pizza is disgusting, though.
Well, it is, but when you're little...
The only reasonable way to eat a Lunchable...
Nuke it.
...is the ones that are essentially... Oh, Bill, don't eat... You're going to get banned from this podcast if you're saying you're actually trying to make a pizza out of that stuff.
Well, no, when I was little...
The reasonable Lunchable product is the charcuterie snack plate version, where it's just... crackers and meat, which is a normal thing.
Yeah,
to
no,
eat.
But that wasn't that meat. Pizza that is weird translucent horrific. Square ham with the like the yellow processed like.
You can square. I'm sorry. Don't bag on Lunchables. You can square. You can make square out of ham. It's a yeah, big is a big.
Yes,
creature.
You can. But that was not ham. Like that weird translucent like meat. I say lightly. Product what.
I'm telling you, you're attacking the wrong thing, and the crackers are the thing that wasn't real, that was odd. You're attacking that cheese and meat was just cheese and meat.
No, I didn't like those cheeses and meat.
Well, but the thing you did like is bizarre. That pizza was bizarre and weird, and I never had that.
It was, but it was like a little, it was like the little kid gold mine, and because when you ate them when you were at your house,
because you could assemble it.
And nuking them was the way to go. That's always what I ask people if they actually, if they nuked their pizza Lunchables.
There's no way to save them. Those are disgusting. I'm having to like even back away from the mic and like it's.
Well, it's one of those. Anyway. I think I mentioned it once before that it's one of those ones that this is another one that like I will never defend Lunchables. I will just say that I like them.
Right.
It's like,
but this was an off mic conversation where it's like where I was telling Bill like Rini, my girlfriend, hates tea. And like it's one of those things with tea where you have to just be like someone says all the bad points about it. Like, oh, it's just like you just put like dirt and water. It's like, yep. Yeah, you're correct. It's disgusting dirt groundwater. Like, I can't say anything that's going to say that you're wrong. You're right. And yeah, you're right. Lunchables is a thing where there's nothing. You have no grounds to stand on.
Yeah, so it's like I'm not going to defend them. I'm just going to say I like them at the time. And they are a fun every 5 year nostalgia thing if you can find one.
Do you remember those? They were like things they were selling to runners at like sports authorities.
Oh yeah. Where
it was like some tube of whatever it was, whether it was protein or sugar,
like electrolytes, like
electrolytes. Yeah.
Did they ever do Gatorade? That did was they ever in do a tube Gatorade too. In pouches? Like it was like for
Gatorade
runners?
Made a competing thing to that product. Gatorade made a competing like a tube thing. Camelbacks were of our generation.
They were?
Seriously? Those have a pouch in them? Yes, those have a pouch in the back. That got in, yeah, those were invented when we were kids.
I had no idea.
Oh my God, we're the pouch generation. All right, look. I know lots of people my age are upset about the term millennial, as you should be. Call yourself a willennial. The point is we're going to change ourselves to the pouch generation. You don't give a fuck about me and my pouch generation. Okay? Oh my God! Those whatchamacallit bags? Those are effectively pouches. What are those things? Are they called sneaker bags?
Wait, which ones again? Say it again.
The way me and you use them a lot. I've seen you use one. The bag with the shoestring.
Oh, like I always call them back sacks. I know it's definitely not the right term. But yeah.
Yeah, that's us too.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We are the pouch generation. Oh my God! This is fucking blowing my goddamn mind right now.
we've
pouches.
We've untapped a whole like a part of our brains that we hadn't activated.
Messenger bags, those weird shoestring.
Those
bags.
At least messenger bags I've seen like those are in some 80s movies. So that's not fully us, but they may have gotten even more popular.
But the resurgence and Tang and the weird, oh my gosh, Bill, I'm having like a fucking beautiful mind equations on the board moment. This is insane to me. Oh my gosh. I honestly can't handle it. We're the pouch generation. The Ziploc innovations. Go-Gurt, you're right. There's gotta be more.
Okay. Did they Dunkaroos, I think, kind of? Fun Dip! Yeah, I was gonna say, when did they start doing salad dressing in pouches? Because I know you can buy that now, like
that was us too! You're right! Oh my God. Oh my God, it's been a whole pouch this whole time.
We're living in pouches right now.
I'm having, like, I know that seems like I'm playing this up for comedic whatever, but, like, I'm having this, like, I'm genuinely, the reason I sound shitty is because I'm, like, away from the mic, like, slumped in my chair. Oh, it was the pouches the whole time. Pokemon cards were in pouches.
Crazy Bones were in pouches, like different kid toys.
Fucking Crazy Bones were in pouches. Sour Patch Kids were in pouches. Holy shit. Cheese.
M&Ms.
Well, Bill, come on.
Skittles.
Stop it. Wow. Anyway, we are the Hot Pocket generation.
Oh my God.
Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Mike.
Bill, put that endangered species down. Put it down.
Just trying to make it breathe.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill.
It's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered species.
Oh, yeah, like what?
Like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Go on.
Away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands.
Get away from it.
Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city,
okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston. You could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know. They're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a pride. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot of
views. This is
going to
get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I
know
a guy who knows a guy.
We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway, filmfreeway.com/Boston.